The next one of the attributes listed is another. And I'd like to spend a few minutes talking about both the role of another as it relates to Talmud Torah specifically, as well as the general importance and definition of another, humility. In terms of another and its importance in principle, theoretically, regarding the study of Torah, Maharal in Derech HaChaim says very dramatically here in our Braisa that Anava is the Siba Rishona LeTorah. It is the first cause, it is the most important thing necessary for learning. In support of this, the Gemara in Maseches Erevin, Daf Nun Dalet, Amun Aleph, among many other Ma'amari Chazal, use a metaphor in describing the Torah to illustrate this point. There the Gemara refers to the need to, for each of us to make ourselves like the Midbar, like the desert, Zesh HaKol Doshinbo, that everyone tramples on. And only a person who does that, Talmudo Miskayim B'yado. What does that mean to be like the desert, like the Midbar, HaKol Doshinbo, that everyone tramples on? Rashi says explicitly, She'ein lo gasus, that a person is not arrogant. So here the Gemara very vividly tells us, in order to have your learning sustained and become permanent, Talmudo Miskayim B'yado, a person has to root out all arrogance, has to be humble like the Midbar. The Gemara in Tainis on Daf Zayin Amud Aleph uses a different metaphor to make a similar opinion. Here, using the comparison, the mashal of Torah to water, to mayim, the Gemara tells us, "Mamayim manichin makom gavoha v'hochin l'makom namuch." Just like the Torah goes from just like water always searches out the lowest location, the lowest place, it goes from the high to the low. That's the nature of water. After Divrei Torah, a miskaimin el b'misha da'ato shvela. Same is true when it comes to Torah. And the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Paragimel Halacha Tes, elaborates on and expands upon this metaphor, this idea, comparing Torah to water. So too, Torah ein nitzain begase haruach, below belev kol gova lev, but instead only someone who is humble, who is meek, shval ruach, shemis avek ba'afar ragli chachamim, who humbles himself before chachamim, etc. The Tiferes Yisrael, not here in Perek Vav, but on the opening Mishnah in all of Perkei Avos, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, on the opening words, Moshe Kibbutz Torah miSinai. Why do we focus on the fact that Moshe got the Torah from Sinai? He got the Torah from Hashem at Sinai. Why do we say miSinai? So the Tiferes Yisrael quotes there the Gemara in Megillah that Har Sinai was the Namuch Baharim. It was the lowest of the mountains, which teaches us again this idea. The Rak Aide Anava Makor Lakol Hamidus Yisharus Yizke Adam LaTorah. Similar to the Maharal we started with, that Anava is the source for all good midos, and it's only through that prime cause that a person will merit achieving Torah. The flip side of this, the danger that gaiva, that arrogance poses to learning, can be seen in a number of sources. The Gemara Kiddush and Daf Mem Tes says that a simon for gasus is anius, a sign, an indicator that a person is arrogant, is their anius, is their poverty. What kind of poverty, the Gemara says? Anius de Torah. And the Maharal in Derech HaChaim says that, of course, if that is true, then the inverse would also be true. If a simon of arrogance is poverty in Torah, then presumably a simon of humility would be the wealth of Torah, would be the acquiring of Torah. The Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Samach Vav Obed Beis, tells us kol mitzyaher im chacham hu chachmoso mistalekes bimenu. A chacham, if he gets angry, will lose his chachma. And the proof is from the story of Moshe, who got angry and then, seemingly according to the Gemara, forgot certain halachos, which then had to be taught to the soldiers, the hechsher kelim halachos, which the kohen then had to teach the people, and Moshe couldn't. And the implication the Gemara draws is that Moshe, because of his anger, had forgotten those halachos. Rabbi Aaron Cutler, in the Mishnas Rabbi Aaron in Chel Gimel, says something very insightful. He says, an aspect of arrogance is, which we see often specifically when it comes to learning and in the Beis Medrash, and when it comes to Torah, is that a person basically says, if I can't understand it, it must not make sense. Now, it's true that there are certain things that really don't seem to make sense, but there's a certain serious level of arrogance when a person assumes, often subconsciously, that if they don't understand it, if I don't understand it, it must not make sense, that the problem is in the Torah, not in me. Says Rav Kotler, if you limit Torah just to your intelligence, that is taking Torah down a notch, to put it mildly. You are taking Torah out of its proper place, its elevated place, and so to speak, transferring it, bringing it to a much lower place, the limits of your intelligence. And as he puts it, Ein lecha hotza'ah l'chulin gedola mizu. This is kind of a form of mi'ila, if you will, which is a misappropriation of hekdesh. Says Rav Aaron Cutler so beautifully and dramatically, to limit the Torah to just the confines and the limitations of your intelligence is a form of me'ila. It's a hotza'ah l'chulin, because you've taken the Torah in all of its vast expanses and depth and brilliance and removed it into a completely different sphere, a much more limited, profane sphere, that just limiting of our own knowledge. And that all comes from a certain arrogance which assumes, if I can't understand something, it must not make sense. A number of the Mefarshim elaborate on this connection between humility and Torah greatness by making reference to the paragon, the greatest example of both of these, and the combination thereof, and that of course is Moshe Rabbeinu. The Maharal and the Derech HaChaim says, Kemo Shehaya Etzel Moshe, this idea of having a Nava as one of the Midos, one of the Kinyani HaTorah, we learn it from Moshe, Shekol Hamalo Shehayula Moshe, for all the great many milas that Moshe had, L'hoya Sibel Torasso, Raka Anava. But the key to his Torah greatness was his humility. The Medrash Shmuel makes this point as well, focusing on the Pasuk in Malachi, Zichru Toras Moshe Avdi. Why is it called Toras Moshe? Because he was Anav Mikol Adam, as the Torah tells us in Bamidbar, Perek Yud Beis. There are many sources in general that praise, not just limited to Torah study or Kinyan Torah, but in general praise the attribute of Anava. Very briefly, just to mention two of the more famous ones, but there are really many, many, many sources. We just don't have time to get into that now. Avos, Perek Dalid, Ma'od, Ma'od, Havishva Ruach. A person should be very, very humble. And this language is a tip-off to a famous Rambam in Hechos Deos, Perek Beis, Halacha Gimel, where the Rambam tells us that unlike most attributes, most characteristic, most midos, which the Rambam famously advises adhering to the golden mean, not going to one extreme or another, but humility and its opposite arrogance, says the Rambam, is one of only two examples, the other one being anger, which is clearly connected to humility, but that connection is not for now. But when it comes to arrogance and humility, the Rambam says that is an exception to the rule. A person should not be in the middle, but rather should go to the extreme. She'ein derech hatova shia adam anav bilvad. A person shouldn't just be a little bit humble in the middle. El sheshva ruach v'tia rucha namuchal mod. Should go to the extreme. And therefore, lefichach nemar, it says by Moshe, that he was anav ma'od. And not just that he was anav, but anav ma'od, as the pasuk says. The definition of anava is itself actually somewhat tricky. As much as we talk about and assume the importance of humility in the religious personality, exactly defining what humility is and isn't is actually something that's a little bit trickier than we might otherwise imagine. There are sources that seem to define anava as the obligation that we each have to think of ourselves as a nobody. Even if we're not, even if we're very smart, we shouldn't think of ourselves that way. Even if we're very strong, even if we're very successful, not to think of ourselves that way. That's the definition of anava. And there are sources, I have to be honest and transparent, intellectually honest, that there are sources that say that. But in my opinion, at least, it's clearly more complicated than that. It's very hard to accept that. First of all, misvara, it's hard to believe that one mida anava would require you to violate another anava, would require you to lie to yourself. It's not true. What would be the mitzvah of lying to yourself? Moreover, if Hashem has blessed you with certain talents or successes, to deny those in the name of anava would really seem to be a violation of being an ingrate, of being a kafoy tov. Shouldn't hakaras hatov at minimum require us to acknowledge the benefits, the blessings, the talents, the successes that we've got as a gift from Hashem. So not only is it logically difficult to accept such approach, moreover, as has been pointed out, the pasuk we already mentioned about Moshe being the most humble person. Well, Moshe himself wrote that. That would seem to go against the more simple understanding of Hanava. How can Moshe write that? And in a similar vein, the Gemara in Sota, when it describes initially the fact that there are no more people who represent extreme humility, so Rebbe jumps up and says, what are you talking about? There still are people. Ika ana, because I'm still around and I'm so humble. So, you know, it seems to be a boasting about humility, which seems to be almost impossible to understand according to the simple understanding. So I think that one has to come up with another alternate understanding of humility. And perhaps, I think there are many different ways one could go with this. This is not the time or place for a long and in-depth shiur on the broader Mida of Anava. But I think that perhaps one of the things that we could use to define Anava in a more nuanced and sophisticated way would be something which I think the Ruach Chaim Volozhiner alludes to, not in our Perek, but in Perek Yavos, in the beginning of Perek Zalid, Mishnah Aleph, where Reb Chaim there says that, among other things, that Anav requires that even if you're very big Chacham, you're a Talmud Chacham, but you don't view yourself as being superior to someone who knows less than you. Why not? She'afim Chacham hu v'yorei be'enav, im kolza ulai lefi sichlo tchunaso lo amal od lo tarach kiro'oi. In other words, we have to always be judging ourselves based on our potential. And no matter how much we've accomplished, we have to be humble enough and have enough humility to acknowledge, maybe I've accomplished a lot, maybe I'm a Talmud Chacham, but maybe with my talents, with my intellect, with my abilities, I could have done much more. And conversely, when we look at someone who is objectively less learned, but maybe the person who knows much less, but in fact, given his more limited talents, resources, and abilities, maybe he's made much more of those, he's maximized those, and in that sense is actually deserving of more respect than I am, because he may have used his abilities far greater than I have. In a broader sense, this idea I think is alluded to as well in a source that I saw quoted by Rabbi Yair Khan, Rabbeinu Avraham ben Harambam's Hamaspik L'Ovdei Hashem, where he points out that, in a similar vein, that humility requires shetachshov ki hadarga she'ata nimsaba nemucha ma'od l'umat mashal lamala mimena. That we always have to realize, no matter how much we've accomplished, there's more we could accomplish. And therefore we have to be humble, not in denying what we've done, but humble in the sense that we should realize if we've already done this, we could be doing even more, and that should humble us. In a similar vein, it's not identical, but very similar to what we previously mentioned from Reb Chaim Volozhiner. Last but not least, I'd like to go through a number of practical ways, practical benefits or manifestations in which humility directly leads to greater capacity for learning. If Anava is one of the Mem Ches Kinyanei Torah, that means that aside from the general religious benefits of being humble, but there must be a specific connection. And as we saw at the outset of the shiur, a number of Marmari Chazal comparing the Torah to the Midbar, to the water, etc., all stating it axiomatically that humility is a necessary prerequisite for learning, for scholarship, for greatness in learning. But we haven't yet discussed why. What about the humble person? What about humility aids and benefits learning? I'd like to share a number of specific practical benefits that are all emerge from the Mefarshim here on our Braisa. Firstly, the Medrash Shmuel tells us, if you are an Anav, Yilmon mi kol adam, afil mi mishehu katan ha'erech. A humble person is willing to learn from everyone, and that will increase your capacity to become knowledgeable and learned, because there is something that we can learn from everyone. And if you're arrogant, you think that people beneath you have nothing to teach you, and you've cut off a whole avenue of knowledge. That is the Mishnah in the beginning of the fourth parak of Perkei Avos tells us from Ben Zoma, Ezehu Chacham, Halomein Mikol Adam. And Rabbi Yaakov Emden and Alechem Shammai makes this point as well, and he even gives the specific example of this manifestation, that a teacher will even ask his or her students, often a teacher thinks, well, I'm the teacher. What do I have to learn from my students? But a humble person, a humble teacher, will understand that they can learn from anyone, even if not especially their students. That's number one. Number two, very similarly, but a little bit different, the Machzor Vitri in Tav Chaf Tes, commenting here on the Braisa, on Kinyan Torah, says that Anava can be understood and related to a different teaching in Perkei Avos, in Perek Beis Mishnah Dalet, Lo Habayshan Lomeid, that if you are embarrassed, you won't learn. Well, if you are arrogant, then you're too embarrassed to admit you don't know something, or to ask a question when you don't understand. Lafichach tzarach adam lios anav, says the Machzor Vitri. But if you're humble, then lishol meirabo mashe tzarach lo, lo yachzich atzmo ki adam gadol. If you're arrogant, you have to show off as if you know everything already, as if you're a gadol. And then when you don't understand something, you're too embarrassed to ask. But lo habayshan lomeid. You can't learn that way. Only a humble person is willing to admit that they don't know and therefore be willing to ask. Third, Yaakov Emden, again in a similar vein but slightly different, he says in the Lechem Shemaim, another aspect of humility which will help in learning, that a humble person, Yoda, will admit his mistakes. Let's say a teacher, a Rebbe, or a parent makes a mistake in something that they teach their parent, their children, or their Talmidim. To admit that mistake takes a certain level of humility. After all, it's very hard for someone who's older and wiser and supposed to know more and supposed to be an authority figure to admit a mistake. But that's also an element of becoming a Talmid Chacham, of Kinyan Torah, says Yaakov Emden. But only somebody who's humble can admit their mistakes. An arrogant person is always too insecure to admit their mistakes. Fourth, Rav Chaim Volozhiner explains this idea in light of the Gemara Erevin, Daf Yud Gimel, in which we are told that the halacha is like Beis Hillel, despite the fact that Beis Shammai were smarter, as it were, Mechadad and Tvei, they're sharper. Nevertheless, Beis Hillel had a number of better midos, and they were Nochin, Valuvin, and among other things, the Gemara makes clear that they were able to see the other side. They weren't so arrogant, says Reb Chaim Volozhiner, to think that their opinion was the only opinion. There couldn't be wisdom on the other side. Beis Shammai had nothing to learn from to teach them. In fact, they went into each case open-minded. They thought they were right, but maybe Beis Shammai is right, and therefore they actually studied the opinion of Beis Shammai even before they presented and studied their own opinion, because they genuinely wanted to see the other side. And I think on a Musar level, we think perhaps that this is kind of a reward, Mida Keneged Mida. Because they saw the other side, therefore they got rewarded with having halacha like them. But I think Rav Chaim Volozhiner is getting at is that if you are willing to see the other side, it's not mida keneged mida, it's not a bonus prize, but rather it will make you a greater Talmud Chacham by being open-minded to see the other side. You may actually adopt part, if not all, of their position. And even if in the end you don't, you reject it, you're more likely to get to the truth. You're more likely to have a true Kinyan Torah if you genuinely first contemplated the merits of the other side. Another idea, a fifth idea, quoted here in our Braisa by the Tiferes Yisrael, and he says that the humility we're talking about here is Neged Hashem. We have to realize, not like we saw perhaps previously, that no matter who we are, we could be greater, but rather, no matter who we are, we should be humble because Hashem is far greater than us. And that helps because, says the Tiferes Yisrael, the more we appreciate the greatness of Hashem, by extension, the more we'll appreciate and give serious thought to and commitment and dedication to Hashem's Torah. So our humility, klape Hashem, when we realize just how nothing we are, efetz katzeu, compared to Hashem, then that humility will give us a greater appreciation not only for Hashem, but for His Torah, and that in turn will motivate us to learn harder, even greater diligence and dedication. Sixth, in his sefer here on the Perek Kinyan Torah, on the Memchas Kinyanei Torah, Rav Matisyahu Solomon suggests that an aspect of Anava is trusting and accepting what the Rebbe says, even when you don't understand it. That starting off not with the assumption that everything I don't understand I reject, but rather there must be something more to it, that is a form of humility. We don't just assume if I don't understand it, it must be nothing. that itself will lead to greater Kinyan Torah. If I could elaborate this on this in my own words, and I think this is what he's getting at, if every time we open up a Gemara and we assume that because of Rava's question, Abaye made no sense, or because of Tosos's proof, Rashi didn't know how to learn, if a person would go through things like that, go through learning like that, then not only would be not showing respect for the various members of the Masorah whom we're rejecting out of hand, but because of that attitude, we would not be forced to break our head, so to speak, to really work at getting a deeper understanding of the sugya. And very often the greatest breakthroughs we make would never have been achieved if we simply assumed that these people didn't know what they were talking about, and if they appeared wrong at first blush, at first glance, then they must obviously be wrong. So whether it's our actual teachers or our teachers through the book, so to speak, by trusting them, by having the humility to assume that they know what they're talking about, even if initially it doesn't appear that way, that will actually help us in a very, very realistic way, because it forces us to work harder to understand what they said, and that itself will usually lead to a breakthrough. Last but not least, an idea which I think might be the simplest, but I only found it not in our Braisa, but in Rashi and Kiddushin on Daf Mem Tes Amid Beis. We quoted this Gemara previously about how a simon of Gasos is Anius, and we said Anius, poverty in the Torah. So what does that mean? Why does arrogance lead to Anius in Torah? So Rashi there says, because if you are arrogant, Mitoch Gasuso, Eim Shamish Kol Tzarcho Veinum Mechazer Al Shmoso. You won't work hard enough. You won't review your studies diligently enough. And I think that that's perhaps the simplest understanding. And the converse, of course, the opposite is true. That if you're arrogant, then, you know, you think, you know, you listen to the shiur once, you listen half-heartedly, because I'm so smart, I don't need to pay attention so much, I certainly don't need to review the shiur, and you just think you have it, even though you may not. But someone who's humble, who constantly feels that, you know, the Torah is overwhelming, the Rebbe shiur is hard for them, everyone else in the shiur, and I don't mean in a dishonest way, but a certain humility of, wow, this is great, wow, this is on a high level, wow, this is amazing. So if it's accurate, and even if it's slightly exaggerated, but that's healthy, because that humility will lead a person to work hard, maybe even harder than they need to, or perhaps just hard enough, but they'll be required to work hard, as opposed to if someone's arrogant, they will be dismissive of others, dismissive of the effort that would be genuinely and truly needed, and they won't work hard enough, and they won't have Torah. But if they're genuinely humble, but constantly feel the need to be working so they can earn their Torah, and in fact, by doing so, they will actually achieve a Kinyan Torah.